definitely look like I work at a nightclub right now.
You look very
welcome to
Miami.
Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. Sarah was talking, and he does look like he was just right? at a nightclub and that he works there. Absolutely. Doing what? I'm not sure. Sarah, what are you intrigued by on the show today?
I'm intrigued by the opportunity to gloat about my Chicago Bears.
Oh, of course. Oh, okay. Very eager to get started there, aren't we?
Would it be smart for Jerry Jones to fire Jason Garrett right now?
Again, you guys are going to ask us this question. The bleep has hit the fan in Dallas, and the owner just got bleeped on 103.5, the fan in Dallas, because here's salty Jerry Jones for you. He's getting some of these questions again about his puppet mannequin coach, and here's what he had to say today, because he's tired of losing.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Hey, get your damn act together. You're set. Okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry.
A lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude to come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
And he got dumped for using the phrase bull bleep live on the radio, and he's fed up. And I show you again, the only owner in the NFL who's doing a radio interview after a loss, because he usually loves the stuff at the front of the parade, but it feels bad on days like today. And I do ask you guys this, as we talk about Jason Garrett again, this guy has been part of the problem for many, many years there, since he got rid of the champion head coach that he had, who was very strong-willed, and he's put his family in place running that organization. And if you want to blame someone else, you can, but he needs to look in a mirror, because he loves being at the center of this rich man's toy stuff, and this is how it feels on the bad days.
As for the radio interview, the name of that show was KNC Masterpiece. And I just want to point out, if you haven't had KC Masterpiece barbecue sauce, which I believe that is a nod to, it's fantastic. Delicious. Okay, as for Jason Garrett, it is very tempting to imagine that somebody else could come in and insert some life into this team, especially since they are likely headed to the postseason. But who would it be? Both of the coaches that you would expect, it might be Kellen Moore, Rod Marinelli. Do you really think that the players are going to respond any better to them when they are also lame duck coaches? This whole staff is gone. So I think you're better off maintaining the consistency of having Jason Garrett there, because you do still have a postseason to look forward to. I'm not sure how he pulls them together. I'm not sure how he brings life back to them. But I don't think firing your coach with the postseason looming is the answer for the Cowboys.
Well, this is the dilemma of being Jerry Jones, because I'm going to give you the exact counter argument. Because they have such a near certainty of making the playoffs, why not go ahead and do something that could possibly spark this offense? You said it yourself. It was tempting to see. And right now, Jerry Jones must be tempted to see, because again, I don't think anybody can argue that they are underperforming, right? The talent is not matching the result. They have 23 dropped passes, the Cowboys do. That's the most in the league. And they have the most missed field goals. Little things like that can make a huge difference when you've got Dak Prescott leading the league in passing yards. They're not finishing drives. They're not finishing plays. They're not finishing games, but they still have potential. And I think Jerry's intrigued. Hey, if we're going to make the playoffs anyway, and maybe we can get an upset of Seattle or of San Francisco if we play that one really good home game. Don't think Jason Garrett's going to coach that up for you. Maybe somebody else can.
We do tend to obsess about the leaders and the organizers and the strategists, but I will remind you that when the Dallas Cowboys, the way they've been built, with Dak Prescott, with Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper, face any of the good defenses in the league, they tend to look a little bit like they looked last night. Now, that should be enough points to win a game, but every time they've played a good defense this year, they've lost those games.
Worth noting, too, everyone's talking about this team quitting on Jason Garrett. The first drive of the game was textbook. 17 plays, marching down the field, punching in with Ezekiel Elliott. Everything looks great. So it was after that first drive that they gave up? Have they given up altogether, or do they only give up when things start to look bad and they get behind? The narrative is very convenient, depending on whether or not you want to blame everything on the head coach, or whether you want to look at some of these players and ask yourself how they can have so much talent, how they can have Dak Prescott throwing the way he is and still end up on the losing side of games.
Sarah, the plug at the top of the show for the barbecue sauce, is that something that you were paid for, or are you just hungry
because we're
arriving close to dinner time, or it's just simply delicious and sports radio shows make you think of the barbecue sauce?
It's just delicious. Barbecue sauce is my favorite condiment. I am a barbecue sauce connoisseur. And when you name your radio show KNC Masterpiece, you are very clearly giving a nod, particularly in Texas, to the delicious barbecue sauce.
If anyone's listening, she'd be happy to take whatever it is that you're sending.
I am wide open for that sponsorship cash.
Do we owe Mitchell Trubisky an apology?
Media is very bad at apologizing. We're very good at questioning and criticizing and blaming. We are very good at raining down judgment on you in a way that makes you turn off the televisions in Chicago if you're Mitch Trubisky. But when you have this game, we don't do a lot in the way of apologies. We just say, hey, keep doing it. But I don't think even Sarah expected what she saw last night. Him throwing into tight windows, him running around all over the place. He is an exceptional athlete. They have not used his running skills the way that they could because they don't trust him too much. But if we owe an apology, what does the staff owe him, given that they benched the man a couple weeks ago?
I do think we owe him something of an apology just for not recognizing some of the issues that he has gone through this season, including the injuries. And we talked about him running the ball for 60-plus yards in this game. Well, he couldn't really do that much. They were protecting him a little bit because of those injuries. But I think this is exactly what Sarah was afraid of. When Mitch Trubisky starts this run in December of, you know, decent but not great games, like he did have that one, it's a Mitchell Trubisky interception to start the game, so you saw some of that. When he does this, we're going to end the season saying, wow, that team didn't make the playoffs, but their defense is great, and maybe that quarterback's good enough. Are we there yet, Sarah?
I am admittedly concerned about whether this is fool's gold and we end up investing in more Mitchell Trubisky and he regresses. That being said, I think the problem with Mitchell Trubisky and the way he's been received has always been expectation. He was not that great of a quarterback last year, but the Bears' defense was spectacular. The play calling was creative and interesting and had not been seen before, and Mitch was able to thrive in part because of his legs. After the hip injury, he started running less, and they started rolling him out less, and that's where he does not succeed. Last night, we saw him get back to the stuff that he was doing last year that made him very successful, proving his athleticism. Dan, I wasn't that surprised by some of those tight windows he threw into because we've seen him do that. The issue has not been necessarily with his accuracy or his athleticism, but rather with his decision-making and his inability to read defenses. And I'm not sure whether if he stays in the league longer, he'll be a guy that learns a better football IQ or whether there's a ceiling on it, and we're going to get to see just the best of him in the moments where they put him in a good situation. All I have to say is I think a lot of the criticism stem from people expecting him to take a huge step forward and then comparing him to other guys like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson instead of comparing him to the guy we already saw, which was just a decent guy who was able to get a good defense to get some wins. And while we're here celebrating a big victory on primetime television against the Cowboys, I think we should take a moment during our apologies to Mitchell Trubisky to look at some of his finest work.
What did he do? Some of his
beautiful placement on that one.
Probably ill-advised, but hey, nice placement.
That's a delicious throw.
Forgive me, Sarah, were all of these passes like 6 and 7 and 8?
Look at those wheels.
Downfield?
How about this? How about no?
We threw in the sneak bomb. Look at what we threw in. A reminder of how his last season ended right there.
Fart sound.
Producers just betrayed Sarah.
She had to know that was coming.
No, she didn't. Look at her face. She didn't know that was coming. Look at her.
Who would you rather be on Sunday, the Chiefs or the Patriots?
The only teams in this league that have confounded that Patriots defense this year are the extraordinarily fast ones in Houston and Baltimore. And here comes Kansas City, as fast as any team that we have ever seen. And yet still, even with Tom Brady looking like not last night's Mitch Trubisky, but the one that we've seen before that since week 4, I still can't bring myself to ever say that the Patriots aren't the team I want in December at home, because in December at home, they win. And last time I saw them, even though I had all sorts of questions about the Patriots when they faced the Chiefs, they went into Kansas City and did things I wasn't expecting them to do in the cold weather. This team does not lose at home, and so I always want to be them at home.
Yeah, you're right, Dan. They haven't lost a December game at home since 2015. So you'd think that it'd be safe to put your money on the Patriots. Well, I don't feel like being safe today because I think this Patriots defense is going to have a tough challenge, like you mentioned, with the speed of the Chiefs. And the Patriots offense is going to have absolutely no way to make up for what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense is going to put up on the board. Unless the Chiefs make a ton of errors and they set up the Patriots defense to put points on the board, this is going to be a shootout. And in a shootout, I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Wow, you think this is going to be a shootout? I don't know. Like, I think that this Patriots offense is going to try to slow the game down, try to do just enough to keep the Kansas City Chiefs off the field because they are that great. This is now the team that is trying to win with Tom Brady playing like old Mitch Trubisky and that defense playing great. And so you're not going to be able to even come close to winning a shootout with this Patriots team. I find it interesting because picking the Chiefs here is essentially saying we officially believe that the Patriots are falling off and they are on the decline and that Tom Brady doesn't have a long future here. And you hear Bill Belichick saying that the Texans schemed them on a couple of things and you're just like, whoa, what's going on here? I think people are circling like vultures around this team again, and this could be the game where we say, wow, even at home in December, they can't pull it off. Something's definitely wrong.
I still don't know who you picked, but I do know you put a lot of words into my mouth about how that team's doing and what's happening to it, when all I said is that I think the Chiefs are going to win this football game.
You're welcome. Yes.
And if they did win it, though, because you also said shootout there, the way that I would imagine the Patriots winning the game is the way that they won at Kansas City last year. Not with the shootout at the end, with what they did at the beginning where they got up 14-0 just holding the football and running the ball against a team that we've seen recently. Rush defense was allowing 8 yards a carry in a couple of games.
I think they'll do their best to slow it down. I think their run game is going to be looking for a big opportunity this weekend. But Andy Reid is no slouch when it comes to coaching, and I think he's going to be able to try to push his team to control the tempo of the game, to push his team to control how Tom Brady's able to use the receivers and the offensive pieces that he likes. This is not just about the Patriots being able to dominate the pace of play.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Running with somebody in first.
Oh!
Oh, he threw it in from far away.
Wow.
That's a good substitute for Zion right now. These guys are teammates, by the way. They're going to be... Ugh.
Oh, no. That is her fault. Who else's fault is that going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, it is comforting to know that even in international women's handball, there is premature celebration at times.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Time to play the game that thinks Dan would make a great Santa Claus. Do you
Aww.
Question?
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Just dye the beard. Perfect.
I'd be the drunken Santa Claus, like walking to my car through the parking lot in a way that made people uncomfortable. You give us topics and events, we question them.
Do you question if Jackson Hayes is now a name you'll never forget?
He is a rookie for the New Orleans Pelicans. Where's Zion? Where are we supposed to get some Zion
by now?
He's supposed to be out here. Let's watch this rookie instead. What did he do last night?
Running with somebody in first.
Oh, he threw it in from far away.
Wow.
That's a good substitute for Zion right now. These guys are teammates, by the way. They're going to be dunking like that on people all the time. You guys remember what this guy did in his first summer league game?
No, this guy, of course not. Why would
Jackson.
I not
Yeah,
ever.
Jackson. It's, he can fly over people. He's built like a stick figure, but you man.
Yeah, he's got a very Sideshow Bob flair about him.
I was just going to say that. It would have just heard. I started with the sa, and you got me.
I was thinking of a younger reference.
Do you question which time Dwight Powell got it worse?
This is not a good question if you're Dwight Powell. That's right. He plays for the Mavericks, and he's got an arm contusion situation in this first clip. Look at what happens here.
Shots in this game. Wiggins getting aggressive, and Andrew's going to head to the free throw line. And
you what happened there?
Replay
Wiggins
that.
Hit him in the arm. Wiggins.
See what happened here.
He's been playing better this year. And then.
Ouch. Right on the
just
shoulder.
Looked like it. Just hacked down so hard. Looked like he could have broken his arm that way.
And let's see what we had before this. This next clip is something that happened before the arm contusion.
Oh my God.
I mean, what was he trying to do there? Is that real?
You hear this teammate saying, oh.
What kind of question was this? Which time Dwight Powell got it worse? We just wanted to do comparisons so we could show you that second video. None of us even understood why we were showing you a random injury from a Mavs game.
When you're that tall and can jump that high, isn't that one of the first things you should be aware of is the tops of doors? I mean, come on, Dwight.
Do you question if this is the keeper's fault?
I do not want to hear any more complaints from the Sarah Spains of the world that this show does not do a good enough job of covering women's sports. Right. We are going out to the Serbia-Netherlands match to check out women's handball here and see if there's a keeper we can shame.
Important.
Oh, no. That is her fault. Who else's fault is that going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, it is comforting to know that even in international women's handball, there is premature celebration at times.
Let's watch her again. She's very pleased with herself before allowing the goal. She's spinning
around. I mean, that's a heck of a stop right there.
Yeah.
Is she maybe looking for the ball and not celebrating? It's hard to tell, actually.
No, come on,
Sarah.
She's pleased with herself.
Look at the pump.
She kicks it.
Yeah.
I did it. Oh no.
Yeah, no more excuses.
It's an important conversation. I'm glad we're having it.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by PlayStation VR. Immerse yourself in more than 500 games and experiences. Live the game.
Time to play the game that wants to remind everyone one more time that the Chicago Bears won last night.
No. You tell us what to watch on television tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Take that, Dan.
Sunday at 1 p.m., 49ers and Saints.
Important game, fun game, big game, and the Saints have a lot of good players at the skill positions. Taysom Hill can do some interesting things on Thanksgiving. You see that he's on special teams, and usually your quarterback guys don't do things like that.
Catching a pass.
Get him involved in the offense. Yeah. More. Yes.
Tebow's jealous.
He's everything Tebow wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly.
There is some Tebow there, yes. Izzy, how about you? Are you intrigued?
It is jarring to look at the standings and see the Niners as a wild card team. If they have to go into Dallas, Dallas has a losing record. This has to be the year where they change things, right?
Yes. Sarah, are you intrigued?
Very intrigued. I'm actually wanting to see if this Saints team can be a little bit more consistent. They have a great record. They have a lot of talent, but I want to see if they bring it against a team like the Niners. That was a very serious answer. I don't know why
it was a very serious
answer. But yeah.
These are wacky cards. We're doing CO. Important game breakdown.
The Saints need to show Sarah Spain that they're consistent.
Show her something. Yeah. Make a statement, Saints.
Sunday at 1 p.m., Ravens and Bills.
Yes, always here for the Lamar Jackson experience. But let's check in with a poor defender here that we're going to shame because he happens to be around Lamar Jackson. Juwan Williams here. Yep, I think he is the guy who's supposed to be spying on Lamar Jackson there.
They all poor defenders around him.
Yeah, that's no good. You have him locked up. He can't get around you. Don't allow him to have the edge. Okay, I'm so sorry that we just did that to you. Come on. Izzy, are you intrigued?
It is an absolute fact that the matchup of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson is by far the most intriguing you could get of last year's quarterback picks. No way you would have thought that last year.
That's true. Sarah, are you intrigued?
Very intrigued. I heard they're using a bright pink ball just so that Lamar Jackson stops getting such a big advantage.
Yeah. Well, Eli Manning is playing this weekend. They better not go with the white ball for him because he's going to dominate the league.
On Saturday, the SEC Championship game, number 4 Georgia, number 2 LSU.
A lot of good football this weekend. We've just given you 3 games that you're not going to want to miss if you love football. I thought there were a couple of great entrances last week in college football, though. Josh Butler on senior day, he's lost both his parents, so the team allows him to come out onto the field with his 2 dogs. And then look at how Joe Burrow, this feels like a commercial for Nike. Look at how Joe Burrow runs out onto the field on his senior day with his uniform super Cajun. This looks like something you'd see in a movie.
Yeah. Got to be a drone shooting this, right?
Beautifully shot. Yeah. Dan, you're not usually into pandering, but this time you're down.
This
time you're ready.
His name's spelled wrong, though.
Izzy, are you intrigued? Are you intrigued by this matchup between 2 very good SEC teams?
I mean, I'm very much intrigued. This is a serious question, though. Does Joe Burrow have a Heisman moment that comes to mind? Because the one moment that comes to mind to me is him showing his bare butt on the field.
It's just beating Alabama. That's what got him the Heisman. And all those other stats that suggest he's the best quarterback we've seen in the sport this year. Sarah, are you intrigued?
Didn't think we'd get a butt reference today. Glad we got it in. I'm going to say yes, I am intrigued because I want chaos and I want to see a Georgia loss that has all sorts of teams fighting for who belongs in that number four spot.
The big upset is that you didn't make the reference, Sarah.
It's fair. I was thinking it.
That's all the time we have for today. Check out Sarah Spain on ESPN Radio and also the That's What She Said podcast on the Levitard and Friends Network. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Also, check out KC Masterpiece, maple hickory, sweet and spicy. Delicious.